So what we did was last week. Now what we're going to do now, something we haven't done in a long time, we're going to take this class and probably divide it by two. Probably. Almost for sure we're going to divide it by two. There's a lot to cover here. So last week we discussed the early demise of Yaakov and why he passed away at 147 as opposed to possibly 175, 180. We had a Zohar on that. And then we said that Yosef as well passed away early and donated years to David HaMelech's life. We said 37 at the time because Yosef died at 110. And according to the Zohar, he should have lived to 147. We'll see once again that that Zohar is definitely not the universal opinion. So we're going to discuss the demise of Yosef, a little bit about Yosef's life, possibly get to one reason why he might have died early. And then next week, we'll get to five other potential reasons that the Talmud, Medrash, different things he might have done. So we're starting now on chapter Nun, 50, 22, end of Bereshis, page 289. 50, 22, it says, Yosef dwelt, hate that word, dwelt, is that even a word? Yosef dwelt in Egypt. He and his father's household, we'll get to that in a minute, and Yosef lived 110 years. Can't miss that at all. Yosef lived 110 years. Okay, just in case some of you are stuttering and blinking and not getting it, just in case you are not 100% aware what's going on, one of the strangest things you're going to see, let's roll it down to 28. 26. 26. Yosef died, guess what? At the age of 110 years.
In case you forgot.
In case. They embalmed him, and he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Go check RabbiHubba.com. I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago when we discussed why we placed a coffin in the water in Egypt. Fascinating idea from the Tzor HaMor, who a couple weeks ago we quoted on something else that everyone seemed to like. Tzor HaMor is a wild one. Late 1400s of Spain. He was kicked out. I'm not going into that now. But obviously the question hits you. Mind-blowing. Is like, hello, why does the Torah tell us in verse 22 he was 110 years old, and then tell us in verse 26, literally a hiccup later, he was 110 years old? And this is a question that's shockingly to me, is not asked by a lot of people. You would expect, I'm serious, you would really expect Rashi to ask this question. You would expect early commentators to ask this question. And that is not found. There might be some early commentators hinting at it. The most open of it is the Emet Dover, the great Netziv, Grand Rabbi of Elazhin for 50 years in the late 1800s. He asked the question. And then we get to Chaim Kanievsky. Someone must have seen the Emet Dover. You know, Chaim Kanievsky, the great one, world famous, passed away about a year and a half ago, who answered, they claim, that the numbers they're guessing, over 600,000 letters that people sent him in his lifetime. You can't imagine that. That's prolific as the understatement. That's besides he published 20 books that are unbelievable. But anyone who sent him, he had no given a job title, by the way, no rabbi, not a Rebbe in a school. No, he gave no classes. Like once a year on the yard side of his father, once a year on the yard side of his uncle, the Chazanish. But his way of teaching was answering letters. Nudniks like Moshe Hubner sent him letters. And every one of them, I got a response back. So in one of the letters, people published letters, made a business out of it. Someone asked him this question. You might have seen it in the Netziv. I'm not sure. And Chaim Kanievsky gives an answer, which we're going to try to figure out what he really means, because usually it's cryptic. And what he seems to say, this is actually published in one of his farm, he seems to say that what the Torah is trying to teach us, I don't know why here, my question, I don't know why it's specifically here. He wants to, by the way, we have a concept in Judaism we have discussed in the past, and it applies by Moshe Rabbeinu, that great, great rabbis have the yahrzeit, their date of death matches their birth date. So Chaim Kanievsky wants to say that by Yosef, the Torah is telling us, I'm adding to these words. Yosef dwelt, in English, it's Vayechi. Yosef lived. Vayechi, I said, Yosef lived. And then it's later on by Yomashev, Yosef died, 110, 100. We want to tell you, by the way, equal date, same date of when he was born, when he died. That happens to be a debate in the early commentaries when that was. Chaim Kanievsky picks a medrash that I never even heard of. And the medrash says, when did it happen? Yosef's birthday and death day was Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah. On Sukkot, 21 Tishrei. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes, I don't know how serious he was being with this, Reb Chaim Kanievsky. He says, by the way, when you read in Hebrew, the word Meya, the Eser, 110, the last letters are the acronym of Hoshana Rabbah, Hey Resh. Meya ends with a Hey, the Eser ends with a Resh, Meya, the Eser, Hey Resh, Hoshana Rabbah. He was born on Hoshana Rabbah, he came into this world. He dwelt, he became, and he died on Hoshana Rabbah as well. Okay, so that's answer number one. I'm not dancing on that one, but the question is, to me, is very, very powerful. Some want to say, some want to say, that as we're going to discuss, Yosef passed away early. We'll see what that means soon. And it wants to tell us that, by the way, when someone passed away early, you think he missed out on a lot. But when you go to 22, it says he dwelt 110 years. Sounds like a little bit. It tells you, by the way, look at 23. Yosef saw three generations through Ephraim. Even the sons of Machir, son of Manasseh, were raised on Yosef's knees. So it's telling us that even though on some level it was negative, he didn't get to live the long life like his father, 147, only 110. Not like his grandfather, 180. Great-grandfather, 175. We discussed the last week. But he wants to say, by the way, it wasn't like he missed out. He got to see his great-grandchildren, which it seems to be from the pasuk saying that was a unique idea. Otherwise, he would have just said it by everybody. Yosef had the advantage that he got to see his great-grandchildren. So the reason why the Torah would say it twice is to tell you born and died on the same day, possibly. And to tell you, by the way, even though it might be early, his life was a lived life. Now that's discussing. That is discussing the date of when he passed away and the age of when he passed away. Now goes something most people might not realize. It's a Zohar. I don't quote. Charles was asking me recently, start throwing some more Kabbalistic writings into these Tuesday night classes. There's a Zohar. Now, we have a concept in Judaism. I don't know what's done in Bnei Avraham. You'll tell me. By Mincha after davening on Shabbos, we say three psukim of Tzedek Hadin, right? Tzidkoska, does anyone know what I'm talking about here? Tzidkoska, right? We have those three psukim of Tzidkoska, which is the positive. I don't know if we have it in English to see what it says. And it says three Tzidkoskas. And some have the minute that they don't eat Charles Shudas. The ancient minute going back 1,000 years, not to eat on Charles Shudas. What's going on with this? Tzedek Hadin. Tzedek Hadin means we're justifying the judgment. What does that mean? So, the Medrash says, that the Shulchan Aruch says it, Torah says it. And by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu died on a mincha on Shabbos, around that time, the end of Shabbos. Since Moshe Rabbeinu, the great one, passed away, we say this concept of Tzedek Hadin. We say, we know Hashem, but don't worry, we accept the judgment. And some people have accustomed not to eat at that point in time. That's what the Torah says. The Torah says Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Bach, Krakow 1600s, on the side of the Torah, the Krakow 1600s, it's, when you open a Torah, the Torah is the son of the Rosh, 1300s. He wrote the laws, and there's two on the sides that are nowadays the common. Beis Yosef, that's the Beis Paro. That's one side of the Torah, his interpretation. The other side is the Bach, Krakow 1600s. And the Bach says like this. The Bach quotes a Zohar. And the Zohar says that three people passed away Mincha Shabbos time. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yosef, who we're discussing right here, and David the king. So we have three people. That's why, by the way, when you have the psukim, there are three psukim of Tzitzchassel. And if you really want to get into, we're not getting into tonight, each pasuk represents one person. One for Moshe, one for Yosef, one for David. So since they died at that point, we give it a day. That would mean that now we know not only the date of the year, Hashanah Rabbah, but we know that that year Hashanah Rabbah came out on a Shabbos, and at the end of the Shabbos is when Yosef passed away. Just for the record, not so clear. Not so clear. Because the three people, if David died on Shabbos, there's an open Talmudic passage in Shabbos stuff 30 that discusses when David Melech died, they want to know what they're allowed to do with a dead body. Dead body's muksa, Judaism. And the Gemara discusses when David died, the King David died, what they did with the body. So you have to know how are you going to move the body out of the sun? Dead body decomposes quicker. So Gemara discusses. So if you knew that Gemara alone, you say, hey, when did David die? It died on Shabbos. I know the whole Gemara about it. Moshe Rabbeinu, we have an open Zohar telling us, Moshe Rabbeinu, we practiced this law today, we died late Minchan Shabbos. The problem with that is, this is not my question. This is a question of the Rosh, the Mar Mechai, we're going back 800 years. That when you start looking around, it says on the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, you know what he did? He wrote 13 Sifrei Torah. Let's say, well, I don't know that Gemara. Let's go to a Pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu, the last day of his life, is saying, today I'm going to pass away. Moshe Rabbeinu write on Shabbos, today I'm going to pass away? No. That's not a good problem. Did Moshe Rabbeinu write 13 Sifrei Torah on Shabbos? No. That's a big debate. Could Moshe Rabbeinu die on Shabbos? So they want to say this Zohar can't be correct. No way. This concept of the Medrash saying that Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos, no. It must mean he died Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos started. And then they explain it in different ways until he got buried was on Shabbos. The soul leaves the body 24 hours. We're not going to alter the Kabbalistic stuff. So now you have a question. Three people are mentioned. Moshe, Yosef, and David. Moshe, according to many, died on Friday. David pretty much died on Shabbos. Yosef, now we're not sure about. When the Zohar says all three died on Shabbos, he doesn't mean all three died on Shabbos. He meant they had some to do with Shabbos, but Moshe Rabbeinu died on Friday and just lived through Shabbos. So now the died through Shabbos, whatever the word is. So now the question is like this. We know Yosef died on Hashanah Rabbah, according to the Medrash, and we now know there's a Zohar that says it means Shabbos, but by the way, that Zohar doesn't necessarily mean Shabbos. That Zohar might mean Friday. Following so far keeps. That's what we have so far. So we're reading these two psukim. Yosef died at 110 years old. We now know, by the way, 110, we know certain details of it. Fascinating. We have an idea. It's a long Rashi. The last Rashi in Parshas told us, which is 28:9. And Rashi says something interesting. The years of Yaakov's life. Yaakov got the blessings, was on the run, on the move, when he was 63 years old. We know, we're not going, you read that Rashi, it's a long one, it's based on Gemara. We know that that Yaakov did not go directly to Laban's house. He stopped in yeshiva 14 years. 63 plus 14, 77. And then he goes to Laban's house. How much Rashi, in this Rashi, by the way, this long, important Rashi, when he's detailing it, Rashi says he was 63 years old when he left. And he went to hide in the yeshiva of Eber. Shame might have not been alive. 14 years. Then he went to Haran, to Laban's house. How do we know this? He starts giving a whole thing. And at one point he says, by the way, he was in Laban's house for 14 years before he gave birth to Joseph. So he was 63. Plus 14 years in the house, 77. 14 more years till Yosef is born. So Yosef is born when? When Yaakov is 91 years old. 91 years old. Yaakov dies at last week's long parasha, 147, which means Yosef is roughly 56 years old when Yaakov passes away. Just to know the detail of what's going on. He was 56 when Yaakov died. Okay, that doesn't sound exciting. What does Yosef instruct the people here at the end? Unbelievable to him. Yosef in Pasuk, Chavhei 25 says, Yosef adjured his children of Israel saying, you know how you're going to get out? When Hashem was indeed remember you, then you must bring my bones out of Israel. I don't know what that means in English. Hebrew. Pakoid, Yifkoid, Aleikim Eschem. Pakoid, Yifkoid, they're writing Hashem remembers. The Baal HaTurim. Baal HaTurim, for a play on words, is the author of the Torah, who's the son of the Rosh, we quoted 5 minutes ago, who wrote the whole authorship of the Halachas. He also has a cryptic code-breaking interpretation of Chumash. And he says, what is Pakoid, Yifkoid? What do these words even mean? So he says, the crucial letter there, according to one interpretation, is the letter Hey. Pakoid, Yifkoid. Get the other one soon. He said, I'll tell you why it means. This was the hint. We had a famous question asked in this class 100 times already. If Yosef announced, the Redeemer is going to come and tell you, Pakoid, Yifkoid, that's, you know, the guy's real, how many false messiahs are you going to create that way? Yosef publicly announced, you wonder who the Redeemer is going to be? The guy who says, Pakoid, Yifkoid. You know what the first scam artist is going to do? Walk in and say, Pakoid, Yifkoid. How are you going to prove the Pakoid, Yifkoid? And that's a question asked, and there are literally genius answers on how Pakoid, Yifkoid could only be upset by Moshe Rabbeinu different ways. Baal HaTurim doesn't ask this, what I just asked you. Throws a line, and it's very obvious. He says, Pakoid, Yifkoid is this. The Pakoid means me, and the Yifkoid means the person who's going to redeem you. What does Pakoid mean? How many years? Yosef died at 110. I'm doing a lot of numbers tonight, I feel bad. Yosef died at 110. How old is he when he was sold? Chumash tells us, 17. How old is he when he's standing in front of Paroi? Chumash tells us, 30 years old. He became second in command of Egypt at 30. Viceroy of Egypt at 30 years old. He passed away. How old did he pass away, we just said? 110. 80 years domination as the ruler of Egypt. Pakoid means my life has to do with 80. Because I was the leader of the world for 80 years.
Gematria 80.
What does Yifkoid mean? How old was Moshe Rabbeinu when he showed up? 80 years old. Oh, Pasuk Torah. So one of the keys to this cryptic phrase was, by the way, the guy who's going to save us is going to get you out of there and get my bones out of there. That's what he says right here. Pakoid, Yifkoid, remember, you take my bones out. First thing, it's not just say the words Pakoid, Yifkoid. There's more details to it. So when the first shamist, that's even a word, the first scam artist walks in and says, Pakoid, Yifkoid, I'm the Redeemer. How old are you? Or what do you do with the word 80? Letter 80. That's what we get rid of these guys. So now we have a little bit about Yosef's life. He lived 110 years old. He might have been born and died on a Hashanah Rabbah. He might have died on a Shabbos, maybe a Friday. He, as well, was 56 years old when his father passed away, and he ruled 80 incredible years in Egypt as a leader. But he died at 110. Now we open a Talmudic passage for the first time today. Because as I said, we're going to quote one Talmud tonight. We're going to analyze it. But just know, we'll get to it in a second. It is Brachos, first Masechta Shas, 55a, about 15 lines down. And this tells us the first, I'm telling you right now, if you didn't know anything, you'll know this Gemara, it's great. But as a teaser for next week, we might quote four or five different explanations for this next quote. And here it goes. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, again, 55a. Shloisha Devar Mekatan, three things shorten the days and years of a person. Three things to stay away from. Here it goes. Number one, happens. One who is offered to read the Torah scroll and does not read. We're not going into that tonight. Number two, one who's offered to say a blessing with a coast and says, no, we're not going into that tonight. Third one who assumes A-I-R-S, ears, R's, the ears, everyone says I say it wrong all the time. I'm going to go another word. One who assumes authority. On bottom, it's, now, that's just this. One who assumes authority loses ears. Skipping about three lines here. How do you know such a thing? Why did Yosef die before his brothers? Because he assumed authority. Just to read the bottom, 24, how does Rashi, is a Rashi. How do you know Yosef died before his brothers? We're on page 289. It's one page over. Well, two pages, because he also skips a page. One page over is the next Chumash, Shemois, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Vav. Says, Vayamas Yosef. Yosef died. V'chalachim, and all his brothers. V'chaladarahu. So Rashi says, that's read literally in historical fashion. Yosef died first, then his brothers, then the rest of the generation. Why did Yosef pass away earlier? Because he assumed authority. That's what Gemara says. So Yosef died. Now, it's very unclear. We're going to start analyzing it. I need all the lawyers in the room here to get up and discuss this. Does that mean he had to do something wrong, or authority in itself creates an early demise? It says, because he assumed he took the role of authority. But now we're asking, does that mean, this is my question, we're going to ignore political ramifications that's going to be undertones here by all politicians. Is it that a person becomes authoritative, and then through that authority, he misuses, abuses, becomes, and does other terrible things, and that's why he passes away? Or is it even a good guy? The role of authority is a detrimental to one's health. That's question number one we're going to analyze tonight. Question two. Very important question. How do you read these words? Why did Yosef die before his brothers? Now, there are two ways we can understand this Gemara. I think it's crucial. That's what we're saying. That's why next week we'll do five in one shot. Today we'll do one. This is very crucial to understand this Gemara. We said last week, RabbiHavad.com, we said that people have a time clock, a time stamp. You could elongate it. God forbid the other way as well. Now, what does this word mean? Does this mean that Yosef was supposed to live a longer life, but it was cut short? Or the Gemara is not saying that, no. Why did Yosef die before his brothers? That doesn't mean he was supposed to live longer. That means maybe God knew the whole thing. He was destined for 110 years. Was he destined for more than 110? Or was he destined for 110? But that's because God said, oh, you're going to be a leader. That's automatically cut short. So we have two major questions that are very vague in this Gemara. When it says, why did he die before, does that mean, did he have a premature death? That's a better way of putting it. Premature to his own stopwatch. He should have lived longer, but he didn't. Or, why did he die first? I mean, what happened? Why did he age quicker? Second question, again, is it the role of authority in itself a problem, or is the role creating something that you get punished? And years ago, is Rosen on the screen?
Question.
Two good questions.
No, there's a question.
There's a question. Oh, from the audience. Go.
Yeah. So I have a question about the word assume.
Yes.
Is it more of accepting or be bestowed upon? Because those are two different things.
Explain yourself.
So when you're being bestowed upon, you're pretty much being volunteered to, I guess, in lack of better words, assume the position. But by default, does being volunteered make you assume the authority, or do you have to volunteer it for yourself?
Excellent. So 1600s Marshal. Have you heard of the great Marshal? 1600s Marshal asks a question, gives an answer, which I think is exactly what you're saying. Marshal says, what are you talking about? Him, the guy's playing the role of authority? We tell the authority of people that in public, you got to be a strong leader. You got to show strength. Marshal asked this question on the back in Brachas 56, 55a. Look it up. And the Marshal says an answer, which I think he just said. That when it says the word Shehinig, it means he was not accepted by the people. But he made them as the leader. I mean, a chosen leader who the people accept doesn't pass away. This is Marshal. Doesn't pass away early. But the one who makes himself a leader, he assumed authority. That's the guy who passed away early. Is that what you said, Moshe?
Essentially, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you can never go wrong if you're on the same page as the Marshal. Everything I'm saying now is just extra. But you'll never go wrong with the Marshal. Know that right away. That's a masterpiece. Just for the record, we mentioned the Chazon Ish earlier. The Chazon Ish was famous. I have a friend of mine, who talks about it, how in the old days, the Marshal was like after Rashi. Everyone learned Gemara, Rashi, the Marshal. The Chazon Ish famously said, if a person doesn't read the Marshal, he cannot be learning the Gemara. Nowadays, not so learned, but in the old days, it was a basic. Now, what we had years ago, that's why it was Rosen on the camera. We had years ago a concept of the Megillus. We said this then, and everyone liked it. Keys might have been it then. In the beginning of the story of Rus. So what happens in the story of Rus is this. There's a man and his wife and two sons. Man's name is Elimelech and his two sons, and they leave Israel during a famine, and they run off to the land of Moab. Then the two sons find two women, Rus and Arpa, and they marry them. And then, we're not sure about the word then, but at one point, the father passes away, and the two sons pass away. And now we're left with three women, Thelma, Louise, and somebody else. And they're traveling back to Israel. And what happens is, as they're going back to Israel, the mother-in-law, ex-mother-in-law, whatever you call it, is telling the kids, listen, buddies, you got to get away from me. This ain't for me. Go back to your home. I got nothing in Israel for you. I got no kids. I got nothing. And 112 in Rus says at one point, we'll do 11 verse. Naomi, that's the mother-in-law, says, turn back, my daughters. She calls them nice, my daughters. Turn back. Why would you come with me? Do I have any more sons for you to marry that could be husbands to you? Turn back, my daughters. Go along. If I am too old to have a husband, even if I were, there's no hope for me. She's saying, listen, buddies, just head the other direction. And we spent, I keep might remember, Charles might have not been to them. We probably spent 4 weeks on that pasuk. The old days in Rus, we spent about 4 weeks per pasuk, going back many, many, many years. Now, but we said then an unbelievable idea. There's a rabbi here who said, 1500s, he says, what do you mean I became old? And the words are, I became old. Hold on. I became old because of to have a husband. He says, no, became old because of my husband. Every woman on screen is laughing. Became old because of my husband. He says, because why? Not every husband. He says, since Elimelech was a leader of the generation, there's a natural course of events that a leader's lives get cut short. Physically, the toll of the what's on upon them, the pressure. Every president in the United States, they show a before picture and after, and they're all white afterward, right? Because there's a toll. She said, I became old, I'm married to this guy. Just to say in a mind-blowing idea, which we said then 15 years ago plus, there's a Talmudic passage, I don't have it in front of me right now, but they were debating of making Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I think it was him, into the grand rabbi. And they came to me and said, listen, join the grand rabbi. And he famously responded, women's lib, gotta ask my wife first. And that is in 28, 29 in Brachas. Yes. I have 28a on top. That's we'll go to 27b in 1 second. It says like this. They said, who are we going to have as a leader? Us, the Bible, they came to Blessed and Isaiah. Blessed and Isaiah. It is pleasing to my master, why don't you become the head of the school? Amali said to them, I will go and consult with the members of my household. Art scroll on bottom, 35 says, go look at other sources. Doesn't give you the details of why. Amrale, she said to him, perhaps they'll eventually remove you. you take over someone else. You know how it goes. Rotating people don't take the job. Amaloy, okay, but look, I get one day. Don't disagree on one day of covered for one day, and I'll take the abuse afterward. I'll do $1 million for one day in jail. Amaloy said to him, but yeah, you don't have any white hairs. That way you got white hairs. So the question became that the rabbis asked, not being a gender issue, but like, I'm gonna go speak to my wife. Like, why? Like, what's that a big issue for? And there are, Hoshko says, see other answers. But my father shall have long said, based on what we just said now, it's very good. If a person who takes authority automatically becomes old, and we're saying from the story of Ruth, his wife automatically becomes old, his job, if it affects her, she's got to agree to my white hair and to her getting older as well. But that's because we're going to assume right now that it's a possibility to say that the reason why someone who takes authority, his days get cut short, even if he did nothing wrong. But as we said before, as Moshe hinted to, really, when you read the Gemara, it's more likely it only applies to bad people. The people who are voted in are okay. The people who are in and do nothing wrong are okay. The people who are doing bad and making themselves powerful, then they're the ones who get cut short. Did Yosef make himself powerful? So what's fascinating is,
yeah.
Yes, even though, this is what's unbelievable, even though we're going to say with the brothers, this Gemara is in sight as well, it seems to be through the brothers, even though to the brothers he might have been a little aggressive, that was all a show. Inside he was humble. We spoke about the past. Yosef was going through the following of the script of the dreams and stuff like that. He wasn't doing anything bad. Even though he wasn't doing something so bad, even though he's pretending to the brothers, even though he didn't do anything, a lot of it was just maybe, according to what next we're going to discuss, he might have been hearing them call their father a slave. We'll get to that next week. There's another Gemara that says the reason why Yosef lost 10 years is because he heard the brothers call their father our servant. Hearing doesn't sound like the worst crime in the world. Not doing something is hearing doing something. Hearing's inactive. But that means it's a very important lesson. That means even if someone's inactive, even if someone's doing it for a show, even if someone's doing it, he might have proper motives, but you're assuming authority in others, it becomes a negative that potentially can shorten one life. Back to what we have right here, page 389. Yosef, look at the phrase we started from 22. Remember I asked you why I said it? Start 22, Yosef dwelt in Egypt. He and his father's household. Why is he mentioned separately and earlier? So I'm going to tell you the great Torah, which we quoted a few weeks ago, says that it means he was the same. He made himself equal to them. But it's possible to read this as on some minutia of detail, he assumed authority over them. He first, then household. Therefore, only 110 years. And the words read that way. Yosef dwelt 110 years. You know why 110 years? Because it was him and his father's household. He considered himself first. What was the question? Go.
I was going to say he also, with the Mitzrayim also, he moved them around also.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that could be. So the truth is, we didn't do it in front of us. The Gemara in sight is a question of what that means. Very easy. That's a very easy approach. But then we have to get it. Does that mean he was not feared to the Egyptians or he was feared to the Egyptians? Do we assume, again, there's three levels I'm going with. This is me. Either the action itself of being a leader causes early demise. Either the act, that's very shocking. Either the extreme, when you do something wrong, or Bodnan just said, maybe just being a leader. We're assuming he was a fear leader, even to the Egyptians, he was fear. Fear leader, whatever. Ear, fear, I have a problem with all of these.
Sounds like fearful.
Oh, fear. I meant A-I-R. Like I skipped the word before, I got away with it. Fair. An honest.
Just
leader, and you still get punished. So that's the question. Do we assume that Yosef did something? When the Gemara says that Yosef assumed authority, he lost years. Either he did nothing wrong, the assumption itself, being a leader, or doing something wrong as well. Or just being a leader, even if you, that's what it is. That's what we're going to debate. Next week, God willing, we continue this because next week's parsha already saw it, they talk about it. And we're going to offer 4-5 potential other reasons why Yosef lost years. But again, we'll have to see how many years he lost. The Zohar made it sound like he should have lived to 147. And some seem to learn he should live to 120. We thank you. Till next week.